Good morning, Outposters. Might help if I didn't mute the mic the whole time. With me today, I have Ben, who has joined us all the way from his backyard to be a part of this whole mess. How are you doing today, Ben?
Doing all right. So, can't complain.
Well, that's always good. I mean, it's easy to complain.
I complained about this insufferable quarantine yesterday on Facebook. Zero interactions on that, by the way. No one liked it. No one disliked it. No one commented. It was very odd. Everybody's staying out of it on this one.
Everybody's like, yeah, we know. So I was going to go through a little bit of the news here real quick. And really the only news story that I'm really interested in is the Star Trek Discovery spinoff. I don't know. What are they going to call it? Strange New Worlds. And this is going to be with Pike and the Enterprise.
Hey, unless there's paper mache monsters, I'm not interested.
There may be. So they're bringing back the guy that played Spock, Pike, and Rebecca Romijn is number one. And they have Anson Mount as Pike.
It was really, children screaming in my over across the street here.
I can hear that.
Okay.
Are they being molested in any way, or are they just being children?
They're just being children. Mm-hmm. Huck Finn style, running around with no shoes.
Hey, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Let him play. It's fine.
So it stars who?
Well, I don't know. Did you see any of Discovery, or did you bother?
No, I didn't bother.
Okay. So in the second season of Discovery, they brought in the Enterprise, and they had Christopher Pike, number one, who I don't think was ever really given a name, the original pilot, and Spock.
Was that lady? Was that what's-his-face's wife?
Yeah. That's what she, before she got demoted to blonde nurse.
Yeah. She has some weird ass name, right?
I have no idea what her name is.
It's something. It's like Lajal Roddenberry or something. It's like a weird thing.
Really?
I don't. It doesn't matter. But that's who. Okay.
So anyway, what they want to do on this show is. Do more of a 1 hour, you know, a more episodic type thing, and just have them, you know, they're going to have a little bit of serialized stuff. They say, according to the story, it's like, we're going to try to harken back to some classical Trek values to be optimistic and to be more episodic. We will take advantage of the serialized nature of character and story building, but I think the plots will be more close-ended than you've seen either Discovery or Picard. I imagine to be closer to the original series than even DS9. We can really tell close-ended stories. We can find ourselves in episodes that are totally of a piece. I think one thing we struggled with as fans was that Kirk is heartbroken at the loss of Edith Keeler in the City of Edge Forever and has to be just fine next week. I think we'd want to do is keep the characters having moved through and recognizing the experiences they had in previous episodes, be able to say contained episodic stories. Quite
so
frankly,
you can't watch them in any order. You have to watch them in the chronological order.
You do, but I mean, I think it's going to be kind of like Rick and Morty, what's the one with Seth, the Orville. You know, it's episodic, but clearly things build on each other, you know. And to be fair, it did that a bit in DS9 or even Generations, Next Generation. There was, you know, they have an episode where Worf loses gets discommendation or whatever in the Dishonored, and then he's back. They fixed that later on. So, I mean, it wasn't like they didn't have those things. It just was...
Right.
It was much more lightly sprinkled in there. And I would like... I mean, I'm okay with it. It was the best thing about Discovery. It was the only thing you really wanted to watch in Discovery is watch more of Pike and the Enterprise than anything they were doing on the actual Discovery show.
I hope they bring George Takei back.
He was in it, wasn't he? They like brought up like a council back behind him and said, "Well, what do you think?" And then this very nice diverse council began telling him what they thought. So it was cool. But it is Akiva Goldsman and Kurtzman. So
those guys suck.
We all know how that goes, right? The other news, I mean, there was a couple of interesting things here. The guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they want to make adapt Project Hail Mary. And this is by the same guy who wrote The Martian.
Okay.
I don't know I guess a lone astronaut on a spaceship has to undertake a mission to save the entire planet. That's all I know. Might be interesting. I saw that interesting because I kind of like Lord and Miller. I felt like they got screwed on Solo. So I wanted to see what they would come up with. And then finally, let's see here. I want to
put something. Timothy Oliphant is going to be on The Mandalorian.
Oh, really? I did not see that one.
I don't think that it's been posted to the site yet, but I know somebody wrote it. So it should be hitting sometime today, I'd imagine.
Probably so. He's all right. I really first became aware of him in Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah.
I know he was on Deadwood, I think.
He was on Deadwood. He was on Justified. He was in the movie Go. If you've seen that.
I'm not. He's one of those guys that seems to get a lot of work, but somehow it just doesn't intersect with my usual stuff that I watch.
He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was on that zombie show on Netflix, The Santa Clarita Diet.
I never saw that one. That was the one with Drew Barrymore, isn't it?
Yeah. He's good in everything. I mean, he's like a Patrick Wilson who makes everything that he's in better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like him. I never disliked him. He's just one of those guys that, you know, like you have that star you keep hearing about, but you never really see him because he's in the shit you don't watch that often.
Right. And Starbuck.
Oh, really?
Chick Starbuck is in Mandalorian 2 now.
I heard that. And they got Rosario Dawson for...
Yeah.
Ahsoka.
I feel like this has got a lot of big names that I imagine are, and Boba Fett's going to be on there too. I imagine these are all going to be like one episode people. You know what I mean? I don't think that all these people are going to be in every single episode of this thing because that takes away screen time from the child,
the Baby Yoda,
BKA Baby Yoda.
I would assume that Ahsoka would make sense because you know you run across this force sensitive child. And she would recognize the species and all that. So that would be that. I think that would be kind of interesting. I would like to see her in more episodes. I'm a little. I don't know why they couldn't have cast Ashley Eckstein in the role. I mean, you know, you're getting covered under latex anyway, and she has the voice and knows the character, so she still looks good. I don't know what the problem was there, but.
It's not a big enough stunt casting name for the Disney Star Wars people.
The blonde white girl, not nearly diverse enough.
That and all this is big name stuff now.
Yeah.
They got Timothy Oliphant. They got Katie Sackhoff. They got Rosario Dawson. They got Tamora Morrison. You know, they're getting as many names in there as they can get.
Yeah.
Surprised they didn't get that what's-her-face. From Solo, Amelia Clark.
Oh yeah. Well, who knows? You know,
maybe they'll get her too.
They're still filming. I mean, anything could happen.
So
I mean, would he'd be he'd be dead by now in canon, I guess. So they won't get Darth Maul.
And, oh, I heard that they were going to try to bring back Bail Organa in some other thing.
Oh, no.
In some other series they were making. Jimmy Smits was going to be in that Rogue One series about that character that nobody cares about. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The
Even know his name. God.
That's the thing about Rogue One.
Orson or something like that.
Cassian Andor.
Yeah.
Cassian Honda. The, what's it? Cavalier Honda. Let's just call him that.
So whatever, man.
That's how you get a Star Wars name. You take two car names and you just run them together, you know? Silverado Ford. There you go. You got a Star Wars name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like this whole thing is just getting milked to death. You got the wrong people in charge of these properties. And until these morons get, you know, finally, until the budgets run out and they realize they're not getting supported, and finally the cooler heads of business say, okay, enough's enough, and started putting in people that actually don't care about all this political nonsense and just want to tell decent stories, it's not going to change. They're going to continue to get ruined.
Yeah, and when you got guys, there's enough people like that crybaby mole face guy. You know who I'm talking about? Mm-mm. That guy that was bursting into tears over the Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know that guy's name, but he was like crying all the time and he had a big mole on his face.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Look, I'll admit, I'm not proud of this, but I'll admit, when The Force Awakens came out and the first time you saw Chewie were home, did I get a little misty? A little bit.
Yeah.
With tears rolling down my face and I was dying? No. Just had that nostalgia boner for about 10 minutes where I went, that's wonderful. Did that wear off real quick after as we went through the movies? And by the time I got to Rise of Skywalker's trailer, I went, could not care less. Felt
that's
nothing.
Like the way I felt. You know what? I felt like that when Luke got born in Revenge of the Sith. I'm not going to lie. Like when Luke got born, I was like, Luke, you know, because that was like the big moment to me in that,
and then
in
five,
that movie.
And then 3 minutes later, Frankenstein Vader's coming out going, no! And you're like, oh, it's so ruined.
So anyway, let's go with the topic of today. Maybe.
Topic of the today. So I've got a list of my favorite comedies in no particular order. I don't know if you have some that you have lined up.
I can talk about anything with this topic. Let me say something before we start. I think that comedy is the hardest genre for rewatchability.
It is.
Like, I mean, unless except for like slapstick. Like slapstick to me has more of a longevity than dialogue based, right? Because I mean, you hear the same lines. It's not as funny on repeat viewings to me.
Most times, but these ones I picked are mostly situational, or at least there was some design to the jokes. What I find that has gotten really old and really stale is the whole Judd Apatow movement, the Will Ferrell movement, which is a lot of improv. Kevin Feige, all these guys that make all these just be funny, and they make up a bunch of bullshit. They pick the best take, and then they just stick it all together. Through the loosest of scripts, and there's no reason for some of these gags to happen. If you're going to do something like that, you need to go full Airplane, you know? And they don't. They try to make it more relatable. And so I don't find any of these movies that they just aren't repeatable for me anymore.
Well, here's a problem with the Apatow movies. First off, a comedy should be how long? 90 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It should not be 2.5 hours long.
No.
Ever. I will say that The Heat is funny.
Is that the one with Bullock? I liked it the first time.
I've only seen it once.
That's just it. You find yourself going back to any Kevin Feige movies. Or no. Is it?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Paul Feig. Paul.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paul Feig. I never go back to his stuff. Bridesmaids, The Heat. You know, none of them. I just don't go back to it. Certainly not Ghostbusters. So I just...
Slimer steals the Ecto-1.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh, look. They shot the ghost in the dick. Yay, girl power.
Let me just tell you, Kate McKinnon is about as funny as... I don't know what. Like, as funny as AIDS. She's not funny at all.
I actually thought she was...
part of that movie. She wasn't funny. I didn't laugh a single time.
Yeah, I thought she was the funniest part of the movie. That doesn't mean that... But this is a very low bar.
You know what? That movie had... Let me just say the last thing about Ghostbusters 2. You do not need 5 scenes about wontons. Hey, no. This soup has too many wontons. Hey, this soup doesn't have enough wontons. It's not funny.
No, the gag wasn't funny the first time. only.
All right. So go to your list.
You've seen my. If for those of you watching, if you haven't seen my video on Ghostbusters and why I hate that piece of shit show, please go and watch it, because I go into it in excruciating detail, and I call it my therapy of dealing with that. That's the movie that angered me the most. So I have, at the top of the list, and there's a fair amount here, so I don't want to take too long on any of them, because I know you're short on time. Clerks 2. I love Clerks 2. And I think it's a guy that plays Randall most. I just, something about him, just, I love his attitude and what he comes up with. I think the gags in there are funny every time. I think Smith goes for the jugular as far as, look, we don't care about the R rating or the X rating. You know, we're going to go as far as we can. So you got a guy banging a horse in a very weird nomenclature confusion, as I think he called it. It was supposed to be Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud, and he was going to get that for Dante's going away present, where they were going to watch a chick screw a horse.
Yeah.
And it turns out the guy was screwing the horse. The guy, he's like, but where's the, so I thought the horse was the sexy stud. He goes, I'm the sexy stud. He says, what? The horse is a dude. Hey, Kelly can be a guy's name too. Like, oh no. So it got very bizarre, but it had a lot of neat moments. It had that classic, here's why I don't like The Lord of the Rings, because it's just three movies walking. And then he made some Star Wars geek so mad, or some Lord of the Rings geek so mad that he puked all over the counter.
Yeah. That was Marshall Flinkman from Alias.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that guy's real name, but that's what that guy was also in.
It was good all the way around. It's one of those movies that I just, for some reason, I watch it, I laugh. It has a good story about Dante trying to find his role and stop thinking what his role should be, like what other people. I like the message in the movie. Stop looking at what other people, look what you got in front of you. Stop worrying about what other people think. And, you know, you could stay and marry Rosario Dawson, and that's not a bad idea. So, and then they end up buying the shop. And I thought it worked really well. I hear they're finally making a Clerks 3.
Something's on. Is it Jay and Silent Bob?
It's a Jay and Silent Bob reboot, but he's finally making the actual Clerks 3, because they couldn't get the guy that played Randall, to sign on, and he had to rewrite the whole script before he figured out a way to make it work. And then once he did, then he was good with it. So you seen it, or is it one of yours, or you not?
Which one?
Clerks 2.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's good. I mean, like a lot of his material to me, Smith, I'm talking, it's aged horribly. Like Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
I used to really like that movie. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
Like, it's not good at all.
The only Mallrats, two I like.
I think is I think his old movies, Mallrats, the best one. That's my opinion.
I think the only two that work still are Clerks and Clerks 2.
Really?
Yeah. After that, A Dogma, all those other ones.
Dogma was never good.
No. I mean, everybody liked it because it was throwing rocks at the Catholic Church. I'm like, well, just because you're throwing rocks at something that I personally agree with, especially since the Catholic Church has got its own problems, doesn't mean that the movie was great. It doesn't mean it was that funny.
It wasn't funny. And the other one, like, the other thing Kevin Smith can never be forgiven for is making Ben Affleck happen, right? Like, fuck that guy.
Well, we did get a good Batman out of him, so I guess that's something.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I know. He's gotten weird with things like Tusk. I mean, I don't...
I didn't even watch it.
No. I don't need to see...
I don't watch his movies.
I don't need to watch the Apple guy get turned into a walrus. I don't know what the point is.
So, go through some of mine. Start with Zelig. You seen Zelig?
No, I've never even heard of that.
So Woody Allen, 1983.
Oh, okay.
I'd say it's his best movie. But I mean, his best comedy. Highly recommend it. You know how in Forrest Gump they did all that shit where, hey, there's Forrest Gump with Lyndon Johnson and all that garbage.
Right.
This is a whole movie of that stuff, except they did it in 1983. And it's a documentary. It's in black and white. It takes place in the 20s and 30s. And it's about this guy that's a human chameleon. So it's Woody Allen. You put him in a room with an American Indian. Boom, Woody Allen turns into an American Indian. You put him in the room with a rabbi, he grows a beard and a hat and all this stuff just miraculously appears on him instantly, right?
Really?
He goes to see a jazz band, he becomes black and plays with the jazz band. He can just play jazz. The whole movie is that. I mean, he goes to Nazi Germany, becomes a Nazi. It's great.
It is fantastic.
So it's done as a documentary. A lot of it is still photographs. But there's footage in there. So he's at this Hitler rally, and it's footage. And there's Woody Allen at this Hitler rally, dressed as a Nazi.
Jewish Woody Allen.
Yeah. It's really, really funny. So they call him, they write songs about him, like Dixieland Jazz, Leonard the Lizard, and all this stuff. It's funny. It's good.
I'll have to give it a try. The only one that I could say that I saw that I like of early Woody Allen. Woody Allen was always somebody that I felt was kind of a little overrated as far as his stuff. I mean, people talk about like he's just this great auteur. I just think his shit.
He'd agree with you, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't think any of his stuff's good at all.
Yeah, I know. But I like Sleeper. I like Sleeper a lot.
Sleeper's good. Did you ever see, he didn't direct it, but he wrote it, Play It Again, Sam?
I haven't, but I do. It's like one of those that's on my list I never get to.
That's a good one. So the cool thing about that movie is Humphrey Bogart's ghost is giving him love advice. So, and Bogart's love advice is something like, he never knew a woman that didn't respond to a rap in the mouth or a slug from a 45.
Well, who doesn't?
But that movie's got some really weird stuff in it. Like, he's on this date with this woman. It's in San Francisco. He's on this date with this woman. And this Hell's Angel just shows up at this bar and, like, kidnaps his date. Like takes her against his will. Takes her against her will. And it's just really strange. But it's interesting. I mean, it's got some good stuff in there. But that Humphrey Bogart ghost stuff is really good in that movie. It's all of it's really funny.
I may have to give it a try.
I like his movies overall.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that I think – it's not that I hate Woody Allen movies. There's some of his newer ones and some that I like. But overall, it's just one of those I'm like
– yeah.
They're fine.
Like, I'm not big – like the ones that are like really acclaimed – from the 70s, I'm not big on Annie Hall, big on Manhattan, not big on Stardust Memories, but Love and Death, that's a really funny movie too. Have you seen that?
Nope.
Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've heard a lot of his movies, but they're just ones that I go, I see like the trailer and I go, eh.
So the thing about Love and Death that's funny is it's basically Russian literature. It's like a satire of Russian literature. So like Tolstoy and all that stuff. So he's narrating it. It's in the first person. And he says that his uncle owned a small piece of land, which he kept in his pocket. So it's like he had his uncle owns this piece of land that's just like a clump of dirt that he had in his pocket, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like an actual like something that you put a house on or anything. It's things like that. But yeah, go on with your next one, I guess.
Well, I'm going to put these three together, and I call them the Harold Ramis trilogy, for no other reason that he is directly involved in them in one form or another.
I know what two of them are.
I would say Stripes, Caddyshack, and Ghostbusters.
Okay, Caddyshack was the one that didn't immediately pop up.
He I believe, wrote
that
one.
He wrote that script.
Yeah. And then I know he had a lot of writing in Stripes. And then, of course, Ghostbusters. We all know that. I think those are three movies that I can watch at any time, and they are always funny. I love Stripes.
Do you like the last 20 minutes of Stripes?
When they get in the Winnebago? I didn't used to. I do think that it goes a little off the rails when they get in the Winnebago and go to Czechoslovakia. But I still think that it has enough moments in there. Because you got a great cast. You got John Candy.
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
Warren Oates. Judge Reinhold.
Yeah. And, of course, Ramis. It just all works. I never not laugh at the moment where
John Larroquette.
Oh, that's right. He's in there. I forgot
DJ
about
DJ Souls.
Oh. And Sean Young. I never not laugh at the scene where they go to the recruiting office and the guy's asking him. He's asking him basic questions. He goes, "Are either of you homosexual?" The guy goes, "No, but we're willing to learn."
The other one that's funny in that scene is where it's like, "Are you wearing like, isn't it like women's underwear or something?" He goes, "Not right now," or something like
not
that.
Not right
it's
now.
Like a line
yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, have either of you been convicted of a felony? Convicted.
Charged.
Never convicted.
Yeah, yeah. I like the cough syrup line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I didn't drink all this cough syrup this morning.
There's one good line after another in there, and they always work. Caddyshack's the same way. I never not laugh in that movie in one form or another.
And let me tell you who's the weak link in Caddyshack. It's Chevy Chase.
Only when he loses his confidence. Only
I think,
at that point. Until then, he's perfect. Like when he's talking to Ted Knight, and Ted is like going, why don't you join us for a foursome out there on the links? It's like, you know, he shot a 72, and I'm no slouch myself. And Chase goes, "Oh, don't sell yourself short, Judge. You're a tremendous slouch."
I'd say that Ted Knight is the star of that movie to me.
He's fantastic.
And then I'd say that Rodney Dangerfield is a close second. But to me, those two guys are the stars of that movie.
And Bill Murray does great too, the groundskeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's got that poor kid up with the pitchfork, and from what I understand, that kid looking scared, that wasn't acting.
The other one that's funny is that stuff with that Kentucky bluegrass
and California Sansomia.
The other thing that Bill Murray does in that movie that's great is when they're in the rain with that priest, and he gets struck by lightning,
and he just leaves him there.
And leaves him.
I don't know why we always quoted this thing where we were playing Doom, and do you remember that scene where he throws the rabbit, the plastic explosive rabbit, into the hole, and he says, "Don't worry about these wires and stuff. It's doctor's orders." So we would be playing Doom, and we just start, you know, rambling because we go back and forth. This is when I worked at a little computer shop, so we play on the computers that were out there. And the guys start, and we just start shooting people. And every time we kill somebody, it's like, sorry, doctor's orders. We had to kill. It's just quotable stuff that just constantly works. And then, you know, what more can you say about Ghostbusters? I mean, everything works in there. Would you have liked to
have seen the original version of Ghostbusters, the one that never got filmed?
I mean, not if it meant taking away the classic that we have, no. Because the classic
that we have is fantastic. So, I mean, you know the cast I'm talking about, right? It would have been John Belushi, Bill Murray,
Eddie Murphy,
John Candy as the Lewis character. I think John Candy would have hit the Lewis character out of the park.
He would have done it in a completely different way, but I'm not
sure. But it would have been great.
See, the thing is, I think about John Candy, and I'm going to go ahead and throw this next group in here, Vacation and Christmas Vacation. Yeah. John Candy in Vacation, where he played that security guard, he was funny, but he wasn't. I think he's funnier when he's playing more of an Uncle Buck type thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like Rick Moranis really, that the way he did that whole character.
I'm a fan of Ox from Stripes for Candy.
Yeah.
Summer Rental.
Yeah. Great Outdoors.
Yeah. And then the other one is the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's like perfect. A bit part in that, he's good in that.
He's
Everybody's good in that movie. That's a great movie, The Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers is fantastic, and it's one of my favorites. I'm shocked that I didn't put it on the list. I think that was an oversight on my part. But, yeah, I never get tired. I never stop laughing when Candy's like, after they've wrecked the car, and they're all, you know, one guy is on his back and his feet are in the air, you know, he's like, give me the radio. He's like, this is car number. What car number are we? He goes, 55. This is car 55. We're in a truck. He's so cheerful about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I said this when I was in high school. I was a senior in high school in 94? When him and Kurt Cobain died, everybody was busted up about Kurt Cobain. Not me. I was busted up about John Candy.
Oh, absolutely. I gave a shit about Kurt Cobain. I mean, I Candy died and he didn't want to die. I mean, when these guys kill themselves, yeah, when they have all the money in the world, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. It's hard for me. And yes, I know money doesn't, you know, depression and mental illness. I get all that. But I'm like,
yeah,
it's also part of that is because you have no freaking perspective. And you know, you don't know how bad people have it in the world, and you're a rock star at the top of the world and you kill yourself. I my sympathy meter registers at about a -1.
Yeah. So let me say another one of mine, American Psycho.
As a comedy?
Yes. I think it's one of the funniest movies ever made.
Do you think I it's one of those that I haven't really watched? And I keep meaning to.
It's so funny. And it's so funny.
The one question I got for you, is it all real or is it all in his head?
I think it's all in his head.
You think it's all in his head? Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, that movie is hilarious. He tells this bartender in New York City, he orders a drink. Then he tells her, you're an ugly fucking bitch. I want to stab you to death and play with your blood. And then she responds, that'll be $37.50 for these drinks. It's funny.
Again, one of those that I keep meaning to get around to. And I just, for whatever reason, it's one of those that doesn't quite register on my make it happen meter. So it's
the delivery and the dialogue of Patrick Bateman, played by Christian Bale, is some of the funniest stuff ever. He has these monologues about Huey Lewis in the News and Whitney Houston's The Greatest Love of All and Phil Collins, and all of it's great. It takes place in 1987. It's all funny. He offers, just the way he speaks, the language he uses, it's all funny. He says stuff like, "Can I offer you a glass of water or perhaps a lovely sorbet?" I mean, it's just funny. Like the way that Bateman speaks, and he has these enemies over things like business cards. Like his enemy, Jared Leto, has this business card that's better than his, and he can get a reservation at this restaurant and all this stuff. And it makes Bateman's blood boil, and he has to get revenge on this guy. It's awesome. Like, I love it.
I'll have to give it a try. It's one of those that I just, keep meaning just don't get around to.
It's one that falls apart to me. It falls apart the last 15 minutes.
Does it?
But you know what? There's so much good stuff in there. Dancing in a raincoat to Hip to Be Square with an axe. I mean, it's great. I mean, I love it. It's funny.
Let's see. So I mentioned Vacation. I still think the original I love Christmas Vacation. I think it's great. But
yeah,
it lacks the bite of the original Vacation, which I just loved because it had so many like when the two girls, the two cousins. You got Chevy Chase's daughter, and then you've got Eddie's daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that was played by, what's her name? She was on like Ally McBeal and some other stuff. She does some commercials now.
That blonde.
Yeah, Jane something. Yeah. She's like, I know how to French kiss. It's like, well, big deal. Everybody knows how to French kiss. And she goes, yeah, but my dad says I'm the best dad. It's just those kinds of moments. It's like, in some ways, I feel like comedy is so much more tame now. It pretends to be, but it's just not in a lot of ways. Unless you're watching animation, that's where they go for it.
Yeah.
Couple others. Let's see. Monty Python, The Holy Grail.
My son and I just watched that. My daughter got up and left halfway through. She thought it was the worst.
Yeah. That is definitely one that women in general don't like.
And then my son, he thought it was great. He's only 7. He didn't understand probably 75% of it. What he did understand were all those murders and all that violence. He thought all that stuff was awesome. It was hilarious.
The Black Knight always holds up.
Yeah. He likes The Bridge. He liked the stuff about the shrubbery. I mean, there was a lot for him to like in there, but I mean, he liked everybody at that wedding getting killed. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there that he really enjoyed, but
I'm sorry.
The dialogue heavy scenes he wasn't really getting, but
I do, whatever. I never fail to laugh when the guy's, doing the bring out your dad scene.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got one. And the dude that's over his shoulder is going, but I'm not dead. Yeah. And finally, Cleese gets frustrated. Says, "Look, you're not fooling anybody, I don't know why. That gets me every time. What's that? 20 minutes?
He's like, wait five. He says, well, can you wait around for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
There's a guy waiting for him to die.
Look, they got the Joneses got 3 more just today. I got a lot to do. It's like he's a garbage man.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Every bit of that movie works, and it's one of those perfect comedies. The fact that it all ends because the police come and just take them away.
Yeah. It has a very time-bandits-like ending, a very abrupt ending that doesn't make a lot of sense, that shouldn't really be the ending of the movie, but it is.
And Time Bandits is another one I love. You can tell it was directed
by the same person.
Yeah.
I'll say that much.
Yeah. I think two guys... That was the only one that, I am just having a terrible time with names, but the guy that does all the weird, guy that did Brazil.
Terry Gilliam, right? Thank you.
He co-directed that with the poor guy that just passed away recently. There's
Terry Jones.
Yep. And, I need you, man, cause you got all the names. My brain, I'm getting too old. But Terry Jones directed the rest of the Monty Python movies. Life of Brian and...
Meaning of Life.
There was
Jabberwocky is awful.
I've heard Jabberwocky's not good. But then Terry Gilliam went on and he did, you know, some pretty amazing
Munchausen and all that stuff.
Yeah. But both of them co-directed Holy Grail. And I think it, I think there's a reason why it's the best. I think Gilliam's hand in that really works. As much as I love Life of Brian, which I think is amazing as well, it has more of that. It has less of a film feel to it. It had more of a, let's just do these different sketches, you know, as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's funny.
And some of it works. And there's parts of that movie that don't work at all, really. I mean, there really are. Monty Python and the Holy Grail, to me. You know, some of that stuff with that scene with that, with those nuns or whatever. I mean, it's just like, it's really long. I mean, that's a long scene.
Oh, you're talking about the Castle Anthrax? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're all here between the ages of 16 and 19. We all need a spanking. Yeah. You're in way too much peril. Yeah. I could take the peril. No, you can't. It's far too much peril. Bet you're gay. No, I'm not.
The stuff with the French castle, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in that movie. It's more hit than miss by a lot. I mean, I'll say that. But I mean, there's parts that it's a little uneven. But I mean, overall, I like most of it, for sure.
The one, Life of Brian, I think is much more uneven in a lot of ways. But there is one scene that I think is so good and so prescient now, because it was with these guys that I can't remember, but they were all discussing, and one of them says, I want to be a woman. It's like, well, you can't be a bloody woman, you're a guy. It's like, I want to have babies. You can't have babies. And I'm like, going, oh my god, they predicted this 40 years ago, what's going on now. It's really a great scene. If you could find it like on YouTube or something, I suggest everybody watch it, because it's like, wow, they really called it. Okay, Holy Grail, Life of Brian, very good. The original Airplane, and I still like Airplane 2, but I think Airplane is fantastic. If you want to talk about the different Zucker Brothers ones, Airplane, Top Secret, Naked Gun, those three are great. And then Airplane 2 and then the sequels of Naked Gun are okay.
I'm going to say the Cheech and Chong movies.
All good. Yep. I've only seen them a couple of times, but yep.
Let me say the opening 15 minutes of Up in Smoke is probably the funniest straight 15 minutes of a movie ever. Continuous hilariousness. You know, if you remember that, it's where they're Chong is driving that. It's got a Rolls Royce front, but it's really a Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cheech is dressed up like a woman trying to hitchhike because nobody will pick him up if he's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then he's got, you know, he pees in the laundry. He pees in the laundry basket instead of in the toilet when he wakes up. He's walking around the car to Lowrider, and it's like a piece of garbage, the car. And he's acting like it's like hot shit, this car, right? And, you know, when he's hitchhiking, Chong picks him up, and it's, you know, it's nonstop great lines where it's, you know, I was freezing my balls off. I didn't think you had any, man. And then, you know, I got a joint right here, and no, that's my dick. And then he pulls it out, and it's like the size of a toothpick, and it's all bent. And Chong says, I hope your dick's bigger than that, man. there's a lot of good lines in that. He took the most acid anybody had ever seen. You know, and he says, we're getting pulled over, man. He goes, how fast am I going? I think we're parked, man.
Speaking of that, I should have thrown in here, and I really like it, and I don't like any of their other movies, but it's Super Troopers.
I've never seen it.
It's good. They have these little, they like play these guys in this Rhode Island state police department, and they're just a bunch of wacky guys that do crazy shit. But at one point they pull over this group of teens who are smoking weed, and They get behind him, and then they go past him, and the teens think they're okay, and then they stick it in reverse, and they come up behind him again, and then they sit, and they're both on the side of the road. They're parked, and the guy says, pull over. He's like, we're pulled over. We can't pull over anymore. They just do a lot of weird shit. It works. Super Troopers 2 was okay. It was, you know, not quite as good, but it worked. So let's see. As far as the documentaries go, I don't know how much more time you got, so I want to make sure I get through them all.
Probably just a few minutes.
Okay. Spinal Tap.
It's good. I like all of those Christopher Guest things.
I do too, but I don't think any of them were as good as Spinal Tap.
I like that. That one's good. Best in Show is a personal favorite.
Best in Show is good. They're all good. Don't get me wrong. Spinal Tap, I think, works a little bit better for whatever reason. And I don't know if it's the quotable lines, like we turned up to 11 and things like that.
Stonehenge is the best part of that.
Stonehenge is great. When a guy gets midget stuck in the thing that won't open, and he has to play with his guitar, and he's stuck in this plastic sarcophagus that won't freaking open. And of course, all the drummers that keep exploding.
But that's
when those guys are at the top of their game. So of all the mockumentaries, as you call them, I think Spinal Tap works the best.
It's good.
Office Space, I think, still works. Yeah. Big Lebowski, one of my absolute favorites. Probably my favorite of all the Coen brothers.
That and Raising Arizona to me.
Raising Arizona is great too, but I think, I don't know, Lebowski just seems to work. And I just love how he's never able to complete a sentence. And he's just, you know, man, it's just like there's lots of ins and outs in this case, you know? It's like, he just won't.
It's good.
And then he gets hit on the head a lot. I love when Donnie dies and they spread his ashes and all the ashes blow back into his face.
He didn't even move.
You
know? Yeah, that's a great one. That movie's awesome.
That movie's great.
Do you like any of the old teams? We should do one of these on old time comedy. Do you like Keaton or Chaplin?
I mean, I've watched a few of them, but they're kind of hard to. I need to take some time and just watch a lot of those, and I got to find them.
I prefer Keaton to Chaplin for sure myself.
I liked old Harold Lloyd.
I've never seen any of those. You know who I don't think's funny at all? Laurel and Hardy. I know a lot of people like Laurel and Hardy.
I liked Abbott and Costello much better.
Yeah, I like Abbott and Costello a lot better too. Now, Laurel and Hardy, you can find this thing where it's on YouTube. Laurel and Hardy are these movers, and they're moving this piano up this staircase in LA, outside this staircase. It's about the least funny thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
People think it's like the funniest thing ever. If you go look for it and see how many people think this thing's great.
I can watch you. It and I not don't even think laugh. It's terrible. I never liked Laurel and Hardy that much. I mean, I respect what they did. I love the old Marx Brothers.
Marx Brothers, I'm a fan of. Little Rascals, I love.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some stuff. And then I don't think that there's many funny movies to me, like in the 50s and stuff. I don't think there's much there.
Yeah, is there? Everybody says Some Like It Hot is one of the funniest movies ever. Like AFI puts it at the top of the list. Look, it's funny, but it is a little bit of its time. I don't think it's problematic or anything like that. I don't have a problem with any of it. You know, there's nothing offensive in it, but it is. I will admit that the joke at the end where the guy's
nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody's perfect. Perfect. Where he says, I'm a man. He's like, well, nobody's perfect. Like, he doesn't even give a shit. That is funny. I'll admit that. And the rest of it is fine, but I found it very forgettable. I don't know why that one sits at the top of the list. Couple of others, and then we'll move on. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Very funny movie with a ending that always gets to me a little bit. They really pour on the schmaltz, but it works. When he brings him home and sees his wife and it's the music, it's perfect. But the rest of it is so damn funny. especially when he has his big F session with
the
secretary from Ferris Bueller.
I think you're going the wrong way is the best part of that movie. You're going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong way.
How do they? They're drunk. How do they know where we're going? Yeah. How do they know?
The moment where they're in between the two, and he looks over, and Candy's dressed as Satan. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Tootsie.
Are you a fan of Tootsie?
Tootsie. One of my absolute favorites.
It's a great movie. We just watched it recently.
It works on every level, and I never not laugh when the star of the soap opera is I think it's the guy who played George Gaines. He played the commandant in the Police Academy movies,
and he was a soap opera actor before those movies.
But he's chasing Hoffman around the apartment, and Bill Murray comes in.
And
it's just that. He's got that beautiful pregnant pause, and then he just looks at me and goes, "You slut." I never not laugh at that. I don't know why, but it just gets me every time.
To me, the funniest scenes in that movie to me are with Sidney Pollack, where he goes into his office in the beginning. He's like, I got to get the money for this play, and you know, you got to get me an acting job. He goes, "Look, everybody in New York hates you. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to work with you. You're a pain in the ass. You're arguing with the director the whole time." He goes, "Well, get me a job out in Hollywood then." And he goes, "Everybody out there hates you too."
Now, was he talking to Dustin Hoffman? Was that just they captured it on camera, or was that really the character? I'm a little
fuzzy. That was the character. Yeah, yeah. That was
his. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I love it when he sits down with him. And he's all in the getup.
The Russian tea room? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's so uncomfortable, and he keeps pinching him and trying to blow in his ear, kissing on him. It's so funny. The last two I have are Beverly Hills Cop and Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore's funny.
Happy Gilmore is one of the few funny ones.
That's that guy's only good movie, I think.
Yeah, Adam I never Sandler. Thought Billy Madison was
As far
was
as
funny.
His comedies go, I mean, I think he's... That thing about the shoes. Did you see that thing on Netflix he was in about the shoes? Yeah,
for about 10 minutes, I had to shut it off. That was garbage.
I thought that and was I, okay.
I'm
that
sorry. I don't think Uncut Gems is that great.
What?
I don't think Uncut Gems is that great.
I never saw it.
It was his Oscar bait kind of thing, and everybody said he was robbed and everything. I'm not a big fan of those where people just are yapping over each other all the time. I mean, if it's done right, like MASH, like the original MASH movie, or in some movies, it can be really good. But when it's done wrong and it's just people screaming over each other, you can't tell what the hell is going on. Like I felt that way with Do the Right Thing. You know, I've never
seen it. I don't watch that dude's movies. The only one I saw was that one with Clive Owen. That was pretty good.
Okay,
so you those know the one I mean.
Yeah, no,
Inside
but,
Job or something like that.
Yes. Spike Lee.
Bank robbery movie. It was just a regular movie. You would never even know he directed it.
So Aldo has been chatting us up here in a storm. So before you have any final thoughts, I'm going to go through his list here.
All right, quickly. Yep.
Real Genius.
Yep. There's some good stuff in that movie.
Yep. My Cousin Vinny. I agree. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I'm assuming he wins the one with Steve Martin and Michael
Caine. Yeah, yeah. That's a great movie. Chips O'Toole at the end. That's fantastic.
It is. Ruprecht?
The Monkey Boy.
The Monkey Boy. I gotta go to the bathroom. Well, go ahead.
Thank you.
Trading Places. It's still funny. I don't think it quite is as funny as it was, but I still find myself watching it. He also says 90 minutes is correct. It should be no longer. Three of us watching. Note says GB 2016 is for newbies. Matt says your haircut is nice. He loves, Aldo says he loves Dawson and Clerks too. Yeah, I think she was great. They look like brothers, don't that Matt? Oh, some like it hot. The most entertaining Kevin Smith is his stand-up comedy about the film industry. Yeah, especially when he's talking about Superman.
I haven't seen it.
It's about 10 minutes or 20 minutes. You can find it on YouTube of him dealing with how the Superman Lives script went and how he was dealing with this crazy producer.
Wasn't it John Peters?
John Peters, yeah.
And, you know about him and Shampoo, right?
Well, I know he... No, I don't. I know he's done a lot of stuff.
Ask the board after. I'm not going to talk about it. Ask the board after
I'll
this.
I'll ask to find out. I know he
say,
was...
Say, John Peters, Warren Beatty, and Helen Mirren. What's the story? Just type that up on there. Somebody will respond in a minute.
This isn't two girls and a cup kind of thing, is it?
You're going to fall out of your chair when you read this thing. And the person that told that story was Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
that's how we know. But do you know about him?
Other than his many, many drug convictions?
No. There's this thing called Crazy Days and Nights, this website. And it's like celebrity gossip stuff that's not verified, but it's mainly most of it's true. He's on there. There's four guys that go by him, and there's four M's in him. He's one of those guys. And they tell stories about stuff from like the 70s and stuff and 80s. Like,
I'll have to check it out.
Like seedy stuff. It's good stuff. And then like 6 months later, he'll tell you who the names are, but everybody figures it out. He gives you clues and you can figure it out.
Yeah, those guys live a different life that most of us can't even imagine. And some of us wouldn't want to. So Aldo mentions Groundhog Day, Happy Gilmore. Groundhog Day. Yeah, that should be one on the top.
I can't believe we had no love for Mel Brooks or the Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor movies on this.
Honest to God, I think other than Blazing Saddles, Mel Brooks' stuff is fine. Like I like Spaceballs because it's a send up of science fiction. It does have one or two good moments in it, but overall, I feel like Mel Brooks' stuff is a little. I don't know. It feels a little vaudevillian or something. I don't know how to describe it. It just doesn't. It doesn't always. Land with me.
I think Young Frankenstein's is his best movie.
I like it. It's not. I'm not as big a fan as most people. I'd rather watch Blazing Saddles. I think that's the one that really is the best.
Are you a fan of the first three of the Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder's, the Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
Yes.
I like all those. I'll say that Stir Crazy has the best. It's got the same problem as Stripes and Private Benjamin, where the third act is just like, what the hell is this?
What, they're at a rodeo? What happened?
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're going to escape from, they escape from jail and in this rodeo thing, and Joe Beth Williams is undercover at this gentleman's club, and then they escape, and then off screen, oh, by the way, you guys, they captured the real guys, and you guys are like, exonerated.
Yeah.
But like none of all that crap happens off screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it's funny, it's really funny. But yeah, from a plot standpoint, they forget like, oh, we got to end this somehow. And I think that happens to a lot of those.
You know, Silver Streak is really good. See No Evil, Hear No Evil is really good with, what's that guy, Kevin Spacey's in
that? Kevin Spacey's in that. I know. I saw that recently. I actually was a bit disappointed in that movie. I loved it when it came out, and I hadn't seen it since like I was a teenager. But I saw it a fair amount of times for some reason at that time, and then you just never see it again. And I go back to it, and it's like,
it's not that good.
Right? Not as good as I remembered, yeah.
Yeah.
I do never not laugh, though, when he stands up in the train. He's blind. He goes, you mean I'm not white?
I think that stuff about the mens rea is really funny in that. Yeah. He says, yeah, we use condoms. What happened? How could this be possible? and Silver Streak's really good with the shoe polish. You know, I'm a big fan of that stuff where he's got the shoe, where he has to teach him how to be black and they put the shoe polish on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was good.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff.
Remember when they could do blackface for comedy and everybody didn't lose their fucking minds over it?
Yeah, we could do it. Apparently, you could do it not too long ago with Robert Downey Jr. there.
Yeah, and remember when Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places.
And Ted Danson on that roast.
He's doing it. He's doing it with Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy didn't have too many problems with it, so I think they would just go papule, papule, papule. Okay, a couple of others. Groundhog Day. Yeah, that was a miss. I should have put that one down. And Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest is fantastic.
Yeah.
It almost teeters into sitcom bullshit. But it never quite falls over that line, and when it's funny, it is really funny. So we've got an hour here. How are you doing on time? You need to get going?
I think I probably need to wrap it up.
I got you. All right. Well, thank you very much for being a part of this, Ben.
All right, we'll do this again sooner than later, I guess.
Okay. Well, I do have a old friend of mine that I'm going to be working with here soon to do a Lord of the Rings retrospective. So keep your eyes out for that. I don't know when that'll happen. He's a very old friend of mine, and he started seeing our stuff, and he has some very definitive opinions of that being a Lord of the Rings bigot. So we'll see how that goes. But thank you very much.
Make sure to ask about shampoo on the.
I will.
The board there, because you're going to fall out of your chair either from disbelief or laughter, maybe both.
Maybe both.
You're gonna be dying. It's pretty funny.
Well, thank you for coming on. I will we'll try to do this again. I wanted to get more people. I wanted to do this in the afternoon for our British folks, so thanks for coming on. Ben, I'll let you go, and I'll just continue on from here.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that's our own Ben McVeigh. He was nice enough to be a part of this for an hour. If any of you guys want to come on over next, the next ones that I do, we're open here. I love having guests. I love talking to you guys. You know where to find me most of the time. But if you want to email me, you can email me at rationalistyoda@gmail.com. You can hit me at drunkenyoda1 on Twitter. You can, of course, find me on the website, www.lastmovieoutpost.com. We try to do these every week. This will go up on our podcast, so if you search on the podcast for Outpost Frequencies, you can find it usually in iTunes or most of the podcast clients. You search for it, you'll find it. And have a lot of fun here talking about this kind of thing. You got a subject you want us to cover, you want us to go over, let us know. Drop us a line. You could always email the entire board, contactus@lastmovieoutpost.com. And take care of yourselves, and we will see you next week sometime. Talk to y'all later.